Welcome back, Game Time. 1:14 on a Monday. Live from the Next Gen Male Medical Clinic Zone Studios. Nick Baugh with you every Monday through Friday, 11 to 2. Sportsmanlike Conduct coming up in about 45 minutes. We'll have a crossover to get that whole thing ready to rock. Of course, Gary and Damon set the table for you, boy. From 7 to 11. The NCAA kind of got something right, and then they appear to be getting something wrong or something that I didn't realize was still like, I guess I didn't realize this was happening. I'll lay it all out though. First with the right. And we talked about this a handful of times over the last couple of weeks. So on Friday, the NCAA Division I committee voted down the rule that would have altered the grad transfer and how it's currently set up. It was on the table that if a school took a graduate transfer, that individual counted for 2 years of a scholarship, even though they had 1 year of eligibility. And so if you would have taken Matt Mooney at Texas Tech, you would have had 2 years worth of scholarship, even though he only plays one. So next year, you would have had a scholarship just sitting there without a player being able to use it. And obviously, it was built to slow down the whole grad transfer thing. And my thing always was, let's be in the business of rewarding the right things. Like, these graduate transfers have done everything right that we say we want. They've gone to class, they've done their work, and graduated. Let's not restrict opportunities for them, and they didn't. So thank God for that. And the other thing, and I was talking to Shafe about this, I think this just applies to basketball. But if it doesn't, and it also applies to football, it's going to be interesting. But there is now a new rule that allows walk-ons to transfer and be eligible right away. Which I think this is just a basketball thing, but I guess I'm good with it, but I'm not totally sure. Because again, you guys know I was a guy that transferred, and I usually defend transfers and want freedom for players. But I've always said that I don't mind the whole you have to sit out a year thing, because I do think you got to have some deterrent in place. Otherwise, people are going to be changing teams all the time. And I think that could extend to walk-ons too. Now, again, I don't see this being a big issue with basketball. But if this ever trickled into football, that could be an issue, especially for a school like Nebraska, where you could see some FCS schools come in and poach some walk-ons at power conference schools like Nebraska, right? Like, you know, South Dakota State, North Dakota State come to Lincoln, try to take some of Nebraska's walk-ons away, which, you know, which hurts. It's not a killer, but it hurts depth. It hurts all that. So it's something to keep an eye on. Not sure if this is just a basketball thing, especially since Nebraska football is really loading up on walk-ons and breathe new life into that area. Their numbers are pretty big. So we'll see what happens there. And then how about this story? I had no idea about this. I read a story over the weekend that Reggie Bush is, do you realize Reggie Bush is still not allowed on USC's campus?
Really?
Yeah. I didn't know, because of all the illegal benefits he received when he was playing at USC, USC was forced to permanently disassociate themselves with Reggie Bush, which means he isn't allowed on campus.
And it says permanently.
It's what it says. And first of all, it seems excessive to me. Like, I mean, it seems excessive, but I totally get that there has to be, you know, you got to punish those who break the rules, but this just doesn't feel right in some way. And this was 13 years ago, still can't even come on campus. And where this thing gets interesting is, so, you know, we talked about Urban Meyer, Reggie Bush is a part of that Fox College, New College Game Day show. Right, it's Reggie Bush, Matt Leinart, Brady Quinn, and Urban Meyer, and my guy Rob Stone. And they're eventually going to do the on-campus shows like ESPN's College Game Day. And you'd imagine at some point they'll be at USC, right? Like at some point they'll be College Game Day at USC for Fox. Now, USC, the USC official told a writer of the LA Times, that USC is willing to work with the NCAA to make accommodations if Bush needs to attend a Trojans game or practice as a part of his new job. But apparently the NCAA has ignored any calls and requests. And USC has tried on at least three occasions to have the Bush ban reduced or overturned, and they've gotten crickets. The NCAA has shown no signs of lifting the ban. Be interesting to watch this play out. Because I had no idea that that was like a thing. No idea. Verz is going to stop by in 10 minutes. The one of the things, I want to shift to talk a little NBA here for a second before we get to Verz. So, it was a pretty eventful weekend in the NBA playoffs. Let's start with last night. Mr. Russell Westbrook. The guy that, I've said, no one plays harder than Russell Westbrook. But I could also make the case that no one is more hard-headed than Russell Westbrook. And boy, did Russell Westbrook come up woefully short last night in what was likely the series-deciding game. Oklahoma City was down 2-1 to Portland. They're at home. Can tie the series at 2. And Russell Westbrook scores a whopping 1 point in the second half. And the Blazers win comfortably. And now they lead the series comfortably 3-1.
That's unbelievable.
Isn't that unbelievable? 1 point in the second half. Again, you've listened to the show over the last couple of weeks. You've listened to the show over the last couple of years. I've been consistently hard on Russell Westbrook. And this series is another example of why. At some point, for all the love and admiration Russell Westbrook gets, and how much people just fawn over him, go win when it matters. And he hasn't done that. And the thing I said at the start of the playoffs, what's the excuse? I mean, Russell Westbrook's got Paul George. He's got Steven Adams. I mean, he had Victor Oladipo. And over the years, since Kevin Durant left, he has not won a single playoff series. Last year, he got ran off the floor by a rookie, Donovan Mitchell, and Joe freaking Ingles. And this year, Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum are running those dudes off the floor again. Russell Westbrook is one of those guys. Russell Westbrook is great if all you watch is highlights and look at stats. Because the guy's a freak athlete, and he averages a triple-double. So he's going to make jaw-dropping plays, and you're going to look at the box score and go, sheesh, this guy's unbelievable. But the entire time, I've always said, the guy doesn't make people better around him. And he doesn't win when it matters. And, oh, by the way, he acts like an a-hole to the media when they ask him tough questions. Give me the break. I thought it at the time, and I still think it. What the hell was Paul George thinking last summer? What the hell was he thinking? Why did he hitch his entire wagon to Russell Westbrook? Because that's what he did. This was the crossroads transformative time of legacy in his career. And one thing you find out as you grow in your life and your career is like who you associate yourself with is really important. It's not only about you. I mean, Paul George had options. He had the Lakers. He even had the Sixers. Didn't even take meetings, just stayed in Oklahoma City. I just don't get it. And listen, I picked Oklahoma City to go to the Western Conference Finals because I thought maybe, just maybe, this year would be different because year two, Russ and PG, Golden State and Houston on the other side of the bracket. Nope. Same old Russell Westbrook. 1 point in the second half. His shooting's been awful. And I wouldn't be surprised if they go get rocked in Game 5 in Portland and loses Series 4-1.
Here's what I will say, though.
Give it to me.
If they do somehow pull this game five off and all everything starts coming together,
pressure would mount big time.
Especially on those boys in Portland.
Yes.
And if they win game five, I see it going seven.
I see that. I won't disagree with that. I won't disagree with that.
But
I don't think they're going to win the series.
I'm with you on that.
I don't think they're going to win the series.
Not the way Dame is playing.
No. And CJ McCollum was balling too. The other thing too was, boy, Houston's win on Saturday night over Utah was a really good win. I think the Rockets, you know, I'm not a huge Harden guy and I don't love the way they play, but I thought the Rockets really showed how good they really are. Because think about this now for a second. Must win game for Utah, right? They're down 2-0, game three, like that's the series right there. Must win game for Utah. Utah is one of the toughest places to play in the NBA. Your stud, James Harden, ice cold for most of the game, started 0-15. And you hang in there and eventually win. And as Ross saying, sure, they're reliant on Harden. It becomes a Harden show, but they still got Chris Paul. And then, like, dudes like Gerald Green, Eric Gordon, PJ Tucker, and, like, even Austin Rivers, like, those guys can make shots. And the other thing is, I just don't think we give enough credit to how tough this team is defensively. Like, they're a really good defensive team. They're versatile. They can switch a bunch of different positions. Obviously, Capella can defend the rim. It's an impressive win. It's a really, really impressive win. But unbelievable. Russell Westbrook, 1 point in the second half.
And just hanging out in the corner by himself.
1 point.
That's ridiculous.
All right, coming up next. Let's get to Verz. Let's man this whole thing up. Talk a little football with Verz. He'll stop by next.